Hi, I'm Evan Lucas-Cunningham, and welcome to the Feel Better Every Day podcast, helping you connect with and take better care of yourself and create a life you don't need to retreat from. Welcome to episode 15 of the Feel Better Every Day podcast. Today's episode has my friend as the guest, Jill Fennings, and she is a wonderful psychotherapist, counsellor, coach, EMDR practitioner, supervisor. She coined the term multi-skilled therapist that I have adopted because it was so freeing for me when we first met, when I started working alongside her with BACP coaching. And she's talking about nutrition as well as many, many other ideas that I'm looking forward to you hearing about. But in terms of as you listen, you might want to think about your own nutrition and the foods that are easy for you to integrate into your everyday that help you take better care of yourself. For me, it's chia pudding and oat milkshakes. If I've got those, they help me keep my blood sugar steady enough to cook a proper meal. If I don't, then I'm more likely to snack on other things. But think about what good balanced nutrition means for you in terms of daily ideal and actual self-care, and prepare to hear about a whole host of additional wonderful ideas. Enjoy! So welcome, Jill Fennings. Thank you so much for joining me on the Feel Better Every Day podcast.
It's an absolute pleasure, Eve. It's great to be here.
Aww.
Thank you for inviting me.
And we've become friends, but I met you through BACP coaching years and years and years ago. And I had been a coach before becoming a counsellor, before becoming a psychosynthesis counsellor. And I remember your talk about your research around the multi-skilled therapists and coaches. It's language I adopted, and it's language and also your presence and your experience, and you're taking me under your wing and bringing me onto the coaching executive. And I knew when I became chair, there was no way I could fill your shoes. It was just like kind of, but you changed my professional life. You helped me really own all the therapies and all the different practices and to be proud of them. And I can't thank you enough for that. So,
Eve, it's a pleasure. And what I remember about you when we first met was just a shining light, really. You were just really shining and positive and really engaging. You know, that first meeting, I can still see you somewhere in London in a venue, at a venue where we were doing a networking meeting. So yeah, we've always connected, haven't we? And I've always admired your work, and particularly on the self-care front.
So speaking of,
yes,
would you like to say a little bit about how long you've been doing this and what you're working on at the moment?
Yeah, I'd love to. So been doing this now for 23 years in private practice full time. And yeah, my favourite thing at the moment is couple coaching, especially using EMDR. Because and being in the room, again with people. So I'm particularly loving the dynamic of working with people in the room, either with intensive EMDR and coaching, or the couples, because I find that with couples, doing EMDR is very powerful.
Yeah.
Because it kind of reaches the parts that other therapies don't reach, and changes really bad memories into just memories.
Okay.
So that they can kind of move forwards and begin again, and it's very powerful. So I love that. I love seeing that change. So yeah, those are my things at the moment. But being back in the room.
Yeah.
Just having the, I love Zoom as well.
Yeah.
And it's been a great thing for us all. But being in the room, really connecting with another human being, you can feel so much more, read so much more. So I'm loving that.
And where is that room?
That room is in St Albans.
Okay. Yeah, I remember it used to be in London as well. So
yes, I do still sometimes take rooms in London, but I really love working locally. It's so much easier, better environment.
Yeah.
All of things.
Okay. So tell me about your ideal self-care morning routine for basic self-care, and also anything you might do to connect with that highest, wisest, truest, most joyful, miraculous and brilliant part of yourself.
Yeah. Well, I think, let me think, one of the key things that I really love, if I've got time, because there are so many days in my life in the past where I've had to get up and rush and there is no time.
Yeah.
Self-care, that I cherish and relish the idea of waking up naturally, having had a good night's sleep, and kind of taking it slowly, taking
yeah.
it, getting up nice and easily, making some tea, cherishing my dog, good morning, and bringing Millie and me in bed with tea.
Yes.
That's the best start. And then just sort of opening the blinds, letting the light in, and sitting there just being, really, trying to just be for a minute, maybe doing a meditation if there's time, and following on from a meditation if there's time, the luxury would be another cup of tea with my journal.
Yeah.
And just writing whatever's there for me, and making sense of what's going on for me at the moment. So doing that kind of inner self.
Yeah.
And then the very best days, and I have at least three of these a week, I mentioned
Brilliant. Two,
is to then get up, do some yoga, maybe for half an hour, and then go for a walk with the dog.
Yeah.
And that is, for me, only for me, I'm sure, the best way of being in the best place to have the best day.
Yeah, and that's the point of this podcast, because everyone is different. And it's important for everyone to recognise they know themselves best. And that sounds really lovely. Can I ask you about your essential self-care, like on the days where things might go out the window, maybe you're not feeling 100%, maybe you're travelling, what is your essential actual self-care?
Well, I would say that my essential is probably a very, very, very large cup of tea in the morning, whether I'm in a rush or not, huge.
Yeah.
As much greedy as possible. And then I think nutrition. I think making sure there's good nutrition always, wherever, whatever. And the other thing I would say is headphones. If I'm traveling, headphones, the car map.
Yeah.
That goes with me everywhere with my phone, and just wherever I can, grabbing those few minutes.
Yeah.
As well, if it's working, making sure that I'm there on time enough to be in a nice, calm state and ready, grounded, even doing a few movements, moving the body to get any stress out of the body.
Absolutely.
And, you know, just working with that really as a matter of essential.
Yeah.
Criteria. Yeah.
And what about later in the day and before bed? What would be your ideal and what is the essential self-care?
Yeah. Well, essential would be good nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
I find that I'm one of those people that if I don't have enough food in the evening, I don't sleep well. So I know that I need a good nutritious meal in the evening, so that's primary.
And would you be happy to share what you would ideally and actually eat in the day?
Because I've done a lot of work with eating disorders, I think, Kim, you know, and worked with nutritional interventions for mental well-being, protein can be vegetable protein, just as good, but a good mix of vegetables and a good amount of carbohydrates. So very mixed nutritious meal, but fats as well. So there's enough calories to get me through the night.
Yeah.
I don't count calories, don't believe in that.
Yeah.
I believe in listening to the body and eating what the body wants and needs and trying to mindfully intuit that. So making sure I've had good nutrition. Sometimes it's, you know, not always good.
Yeah, we're human.
We're human, but I'll always go to bed with my banana. Wherever I go to bed with a banana, Simply because if I do wake up in the night and I'm awake hungry, I will not go back to sleep. So yeah. I eat a banana whatever time it is in the night. And since the menopause, I've found that a great therapy, a great comfort, and a nutritional top up to just keep my blood sugar level at the right in the right place.
Yeah.
Get me back to sleep, or at least resting.
Yeah.
At least resting and to wake up refreshed. So, yeah. So that's the essentials. I would say that the absolute kind of, gold standard self-care would be when I'm alone, probably. When I'm alone, have an evening to myself, would be to do some yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps another half an hour. Having walked the dog again for an evening little stroll. Seeing the light, I love twilight. I love sitting, looking at the light change. It's getting earlier now, but that moment where there's a transition, there's a completion of a day and noticing that. And then I guess one of the things that I've really enjoyed that has really kind of nourished me in a different way since COVID actually is to sit and play my ukulele.
Of course. And you've been performing with your ukulele as well, haven't you?
Yes, now and then. It does happen.
Yeah.
And I get asked to go and perform in a massive group, thank goodness. So I'm tied at the back. But it's the joy of the community, and it's the joy of singing, and it's the joy of playing. And I find, I find it very kind of grounding. It's very grounding because, and it's very human because I make mistakes all the time.
Yeah.
And I have to correct that or accept that. And so I think it's a great lesson in humanity, but there's a pleasure in it. I often giggle at myself.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that. And again, it would be perhaps a meditation to go to sleep to.
Brilliant. And I think Miles Davis said, there's no such thing as a wrong note, it's what happens after it.
Well, that's if you call it jazz.
Well, I when I'm attempting the piano, when I was younger, I'd be so self-conscious and even on my own. Yeah. Whereas now there's such freedom in allowing the mistakes and embracing the mistakes and just having fun.
Exactly. And so that's a really... a cherished practice. Those things I think I'll have for the rest of my life. Playing the ukulele, meditation, yoga. They're kind of the very important nutrition.
Yeah.
Very important kind of cornerstones for me. And that work. They seem to work.
Brilliant. Well, I'd love to also know if you could give some advice to younger you before you figured out these cornerstones. What love and advice would you send to younger you?
Well, having been someone that's had to learn and work through things and get to a place of self-acceptance, I would, and who has worked probably a little bit too hard at times, bordering on work addiction, I would say, that it is that you don't have to really push yourself to get to be you.
Mm.
And you don't really, you know, to be more self-accepting, to accept your body as it is, to accept yourself as you are, with all the ups and downs and the foibles and the upsets and the, you know, the trials and tribulations of what is a normal life.
Yeah.
And to know that you're going to get through whatever comes. So I think that's probably what I would say, you know, to kind of have perhaps a daily dose of loving kindness to self.
Yeah.
Which, believe me, I did not have for the first 30, 40 years of my life.
Yeah.
So it, this side of 40, it's a hell of a lot better. And that intention to just, you know, be happy as much as we can and joyful and contented even when we're not as much as possible.
Yeah.
To allow that.
I remember I'd really hoped that I was going to wake up as a sorted 30-year-old, and from my teens I was wishing my life away almost. And I woke up at 30, and of course I was exactly the same. But at 40, it was like, ah, and of course I'd done a lot of work by then on myself, and it was like, ah, this is what I had hoped as a miracle at 30, but now, like, nearly 48, it's kind of like, I think it gets better and better because we get better at understanding what we need and what those cornerstones are and how maybe they change. But it is that more accepting, isn't it? The
I think it's the only way to roll as one. But I mean, I envy you a little, Eve, because I didn't start my therapy journey, really, or training to be a therapist until I was about your age, 38.
Nearly 48.
I know, you're 48, yes. I was 38, so yes. I was paid earlier, but yes. It sounds like by 40 for you, you were already on that journey. So I'm a little bit later to the party, but I feel like as we... I'm older than you, but as we continue, I think maybe it's about learning what we need more. We're working to help other people, you know, grow themselves, grow their lives, create lives that they want, you know. That's our work. And it's kind of, I remember when I started doing this work, I thought, oh my goodness, it overwhelmed me one day that I was going to have to be my best self forever now.
Ah! Yikes! But how long did that last, that pressure?
5 minutes. But I think the thing is that it's true, is that if you're going to do this work, you have to do self-care.
Yeah.
Because you want to be in the best place you can to be there for you, but to be there and solid for other people too. So I think it is kind of imperative.
Yeah.
And it's given me an excuse anyway to have more tea in bed.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much. Where can people find you? I'm going to have information and links in the show notes, but would you like to say where people can find you?
Yeah, I'm very happy for people to email me at jill@counsellingforachange.com no spaces or anything, Counselling for a Change, or to contact me on my mobile, which is 079-74-734-328. And I'm also on the BACP directory as a coach, a psychotherapist and supervisor.
Okay. Well, thanks a million. And it's been a joy, as always, talking to you.
Yeah, and me too, Eve. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Feel Better Everyday podcast. As I suggested before the actual interview, I'm wondering if you gave your own nutrition any thought and the foods and drinks that really help support you in ideal self-care and actual self-care. I'd also love to hear which of the many, many, many other ideas resonated for you as either things you already do or things you'd like to do more of. If you haven't already, please rate, review, subscribe, share, comment, all the things. I'd love to hear from you, and I'd love for this podcast to be heard by as many people as might benefit from it. And next week, I'm really looking forward to sharing my interview with the gorgeous Dr. Dina Glauberman, author of The Joy of Burnout and so many more wonderful books, and the founder of the Skyros Writers Retreats. Looking forward to sharing more then. Have a great week.